Welcome to the website of Community Bible Church. We hope it's helpful to you. We've included on our website sermons, both recent and in years past, that we think you will find a real help and encouragement as you listen to the teaching of God's Word. Oh, let's sing this old one. There are things that I love and hold dear to my heart. They're just borrowed, they're not mine at all. Jesus only lets me use them to brighten my life. So remind me, dear roll back the curtains of memory now and then. Show me where you brought me from and where I could have been. Just remember, I'm a human and humans forget. So remind me, nothing good have I done to deserve God's own Son. I'm not worthy of the scars in His hands. Yet He chose the road to Calvary to die in my stead. Why He loved me, can't understand. Roll back the curtains of memory now and then. Show me where you brought me from and where I could have been. Just remember, I'm a human and humans forget. So remind me, dear Lord. Roll back the curtain of memory now and then. Show me where you brought me from and where I could have been. Just remember, I'm a human. Humans forget, so remind me, dear Lord. So remind me, dear Lord. Isn't that a great old song? I just love that song. Let me do one other. This is a sounds like an old song, but it's actually a newer song written by Jillian Welch. If you've not heard Jillian Welch and David Rawlings, they're a tremendous duo. But they wrote this simple. When I cross over, I will shout. I will know my Savior by the marks where the nails have been. By the marks where the nails have been. By the sign upon His precious skin. I will know my Savior when I come to Him. By the mark where the nails have been. A man of riches may wear a crown of jewels, but the King of Heaven can be told from the Prince of Fools. by the mark where the nails had been, by the sign upon his precious skin. I will know my Savior when I come to him, by the mark where the nails had been on Calvary's mountain, where they made him suffer so. All my sin was paid for a long, long time ago. By the mark where the nails had been, by the sign upon his precious skin, I will know my Savior when I come to him, by the mark where the nails had been. I will know my Savior when I come to him, by the mark where the nails have been. Thanks.
That is a stone hillbilly song, too, I'll tell you. In fact, I need to play it with, sing it with a little more nasal to it would probably be better. But Proverbs chapter 15 is where we are. Let's pray together before we read the scriptures. Pray with me, please. Lord, our singers sang that great song, Ancient Words Ever True, Changing Me, Changing You. Man, it's the truth. You've given us your word, and the Bible tells us that you honor your word above your name. So here we are. We look at the ancient writings of Solomon, and we ask that you would help us messed up people, Lord. All of us are struggling with something. And we ask that you would continue your transformation of our lives. Here we are. We know that we're right in your eyes because of the blood of Jesus. We know that we are yours forever and that will never change. But in this practical world, in the nasty now and now, some of us, in fact, most of us aren't doing very well. Change us. Help us. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Proverbs chapter 15. Now, as we talked about last week, Proverbs is part of the Old Testament poetical books. You've got Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon. Those are the poetic books of the Old Testament. Job is the poetry of trouble. Psalms is the poetry of worship. Proverbs, the poetry of wisdom. Ecclesiastes, the poetry of folly. And then the Song of Solomon is the poetry of love. Okay, so really quite a book. It was Arnott who said, Proverbs is laws from heaven for life on earth. It's true. And there are these incredible parallel truths that are here, and there's all those comparative truths. Like last week, we looked at Proverbs chapter 25 and verse 11. Proverbs 25:11 that you will remember. It is this. A word aptly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver. It's a comparative statement, right? This is like this. Well, now we're going to read Proverbs chapter 15, and we're going to look at verse 1. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. I'm going to say it one more, read it one more time. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Incredible statement. It's given us opposite comparisons. Do you see that? Tremendous statement. How you doing with that? I was just talking to my friend Laura before church, especially in this climate of violence, especially verbal violence that's going on in our culture, because there's a new president that was elected and a whole lot of people don't like that. And there's a whole lot of people that do like that. And the people that don't like it are making pretty big fools of themselves publicly over this thing. And it's all about disrupting and insulting. We need to be praying for our president. He's our president, whether you like it or not, and we've got to come together as a country. And it's not happening because, for some reason, some folks think they have to have their way, and it's not a democracy. So we're living in this time of, I mean, just turn the TV on. It's everywhere. All the screaming and yelling and protesting and burning and craziness. My whole thing is let them do it. It just shows who they are. And normal Americans are going, are you kidding me? So I think they're losing ground by being that silly. But we're living in that kind of place. So if you care about people, this won't be our method. But to reach them, it's going to take reaching to them at a heart level, to anybody that you're struggling with, that you have trouble with. Anger and arguing isn't the way to go. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. It's a simple statement of truth, but we have trouble with it. Do you ever read this prayer? Dear Lord, so far I've done all right today. Haven't gossiped, haven't lost my temper, haven't been greedy, grumpy, nasty, selfish, or overindulgent. I'm really glad about that. But in a few minutes, I'm going to get out of bed. And from then on, I'm going to need your help. Amen. 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 It's the truth, isn't it? So we don't do well with this. And I'm telling you what, the Bible talks so much about our words and the power of those words. That's why last week we entitled it Watching Your Mouth Part 1. This is Watching Your Mouth Part 2. And now when my mother used to tell us boys to watch our mouths, it was about something different. But this is, to me, just an amazing subject. There's reasons why we should be doing better. We have three things that we've already got. We've got the information about what God thinks about the way we use our mouths. So we know what he thinks about it. We know what he wants us to do. We have not just the information, but we have the impartation. We have God himself living in the hearts of believers. And so we have the power we need. And then, not only do we have the information, the impartation, but we also have the motivation, and I'll talk to you about that in a couple minutes too. But for some reason, it's still not happening. But let's look at this stuff for just a moment. First of all, in order for us to control our mouths, we've already got the information. The Bible is just full of that information. Again, a gentle answer turns away wrath. You know what gentle is? It's not weak. I hope you don't think that means it's weak. Gentleness is actually a trait of compassion, the Bible tells us. If you care about somebody, you're gentle with them. That doesn't mean you're not truthful with them, but it means that you're gentle with them. You're not humiliating them. You're not belittling them. You're gentle with them. It's a trait that God has. If you'll read Isaiah chapter 40, verse 11, Isaiah talks about God's gentleness with the wayward. Jesus, incredibly gentle with people. Let me read you a section from Matthew chapter 12, verses, 18 and 19. Here is a quote actually from Isaiah that Matthew quotes regarding Jesus. Here is my servant whom I have chosen, the one I love and whom I delight. I put my spirit on him, and he will proclaim justice to the nations. He will not quarrel or cry out. No one will hear his voice in the streets. Get this. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. Again, a bruised reed he will not break, a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. Do you ever feel like you're just so bruised you can't go on? Do you feel that your fire is out? I want you to know Jesus isn't going to come after you with a bunch of condemnation. He's going to come with gentleness to you because he loves you and he wants you to recover. Maybe you think that you've messed up too big in life and that this Jesus thing is for all the good church people. I want to tell you something. There are no good church people. I love you guys, but none of us are perfect in this room, and we should never, ever give that impression to anybody. We're just a bunch of sinners who found forgiveness. And yeah, we might be getting better, but it has nothing to do with us. I'll tell you that. It's all because of a little Jewish rabbi died for our sins and was raised from the dead. And he happened to be God in the flesh who could do that. That's why we're doing better. So maybe you think this isn't for you. I'm telling you, it is for you. And if you will come to Jesus, if you'll simply put your trust in him, he's not going to snuff you out. He's not going to break you in your bruised condition. He's going to care for you. Gentleness, it's part of what Jesus, who Jesus is. It's seen as a strength and not a weakness. If you go with me to James Debbie's other favorite book, I said last week. Anyhow, let me read you a couple of verses. James talking about mature, strong Christians. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. What do those people look like, and what do they do? They are peacemakers who sow in peace and they raise a harvest of righteousness. That is strength. Do you see that? The strong people I know don't need to yell. They don't need to cajole. They don't need to harass. They care about people. And so it's seen as a strength. It's a mark of great maturity. Colossians chapter 3, verse 13. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. That whole gentleness, that openness, it's just part of being a mature Christian. And believers are to reflect this gentleness of God to others. And in confronting people who are wayward, it's not a humiliating of other people. In Galatians, Paul said, is any of you caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore, notice that, it's about restoration, restore them gently. And watch out, you can be tempted in the same way. Interesting, isn't it? Gentleness and all of that. In reasoning with unbelievers, Peter said that you need to be ready to give an answer in chapter 3, verses 15 and 16, that we're supposed to be ready to give an answer to any who ask of the reason, of the hope that's within us. But he says, do this with gentleness and respect. Yeah, it's not that slap you upside the head Christianity stuff that you've seen in so many places. Reasoning with in nurturing new believers. The Apostle Paul said to the Thessalonians, when we were with you, we treated you like we were your mother and you were our kids. We loved you. We shared our very lives with you. How about sharing your life with somebody who disagrees with you and hates what you believe? That'll blow them away. Titus says that we are, Paul said, wrote to Titus, that, let me find this, chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. Remind the people to be subject to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready to do whatever is good, to slander no one, to be peaceable and considerate, and to show true humility toward all men. It doesn't say to all the people that deserve it. Did you notice that? Humility toward everybody. So, guys, we got the information, right? I mean, it's pretty straightforward in the Bible. I mean, it's there. This is the way the Lord wants us to act and treat others. Not only do we have the information, we have an impartation. Do you know, you can't do this alone. Of course, you, like me, you've already found that out, that you can't do it alone. But when Jesus was about to leave heaven, or leave earth and go back to heaven, he talked to his disciples about what was going to happen after he left. And let me read you this little section in John chapter 16, verses 8 through 15. Jesus says, when he comes, he's talking about somebody who's going to replace him here. When he comes, he will convict the world in regard to sin, righteousness, and judgment. And he tells what that is. I have much more to say to you. You cannot bear now, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak of his own. He will only speak what he hears, and he will tell you what is to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. And it's so interesting. He promised that the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit of God, there is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They are one God, three persons. You won't be able to explain that, but the Bible reveals it. The Holy Spirit is a person. He chooses. He leads. He forgives. He can be grieved. He's a person, not a power. When Jesus said, I'm going to send another counselor to be with you, he could have used two different Greek words. The Greek word he used in expressing it is, I'm going to send another of the same kind to you. So, the Lord Jesus was ascended to heaven from the Mount of Olives in full view of his disciples after his resurrection. Man, what a month and a half that was, huh? Woo, man. transform the world. But then a few days later, on the day of the Jewish Feast of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came and immersed that group with ability that they could never have had themselves. Acts chapter 1 and 2 are absolutely amazing. You shall receive power. It's very interesting. The disciples, when Jesus was going back to heaven, they wanted to know the goods about the future. Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And the Lord said, it's not for you to know. But you, let me show you what you need to focus on. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses throughout the whole world. I mean, that's the thing we're supposed to be focusing on, is the fact that we are going to have this ability. Now, there are so many Christians, they all want to talk about the supernatural. They all want to talk about, well, I got this gift. Since I became a Christian, the Holy Spirit has given me a gift of seeing the future, or speaking in an unknown language, and all those things can happen, okay? I'm not saying those things don't happen. What I'm saying is we seem to focus on all that. I'm going to know about something before it happens, I'm going to have this great revelation from God. By the way, this is the revelation from God. Anything that the Lord gives us now is really good, but don't write it down as Bible, okay? Anyhow, all this stuff, we're all interested in those kind of things, especially the last 30 years. It's been like, whoo! Let me tell you the great work of the Holy Spirit. Those things are fine. But when the Corinthians were all nuts about all those kind of gifts, and they were going crazy, there are all kinds of stuff going on inside that church, and yet they were the ones who were the most gifted. When Paul talked to him about all those gifts, then he says this, I'm going to show you the most excellent way. Let me show you what you really need to focus on. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. I don't care what your spiritual gifts are, but if you speak without love, none of it matters. It's just making noise. We have been given the Holy Spirit. He lives inside you. And we're to be submitting to him day by day and moment by moment for him to be able to transform us. Let me tell you about a transformation. I don't want to see thunder and lightning. I mean, seeing the sick healed, and we've seen that before, is an amazing thing. But let me tell you something way bigger than that. When a drunk, violent man who weeks before took a baseball bat and blew all the windows out of his house because he was having an argument with his wife, comes to Jesus and comes home as a gentleman, the world pays attention to that. The rest of the hooky-booky stuff. But anyhow, I'm telling you, what really changes the world is when lives are changed at a practical level. When a woman who has been belittling toward everybody, and especially to the men in her life because she'd been so disappointed by men, when she meets the real man, Jesus, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and she comes home and she's peaceful to her family, everybody in the family says, what in the heck just happened? I mean, you can see an arm grow back on. Okay, that's one thing. But if mom changed, are you kidding me? Patrick Donnelly tells the most interesting story. His dad, who I think was 6'6 or 6'7, still lives in a pre-Civil War mansion in South Carolina, this old plantation that he bought down there. Mom's gone. She was 4'11". And Patrick says, I remember when I was little, my dad and I and a bunch of us were watching the ball game. And mom came out and said, dinner's ready, come on. And it was like, you know, it was the bottom of the ninth or something, I don't know. And then all of a sudden, this pan of green beans flew over their heads and smashed against the wall, blew hot green, and they all jumped up and ran in the dining room. But then she trusted Jesus. And it transformed that little spitfire. And she became this loving woman. And Patrick said the only reason he was serious about looking into who Jesus was because he saw the change in his mother. Do you see that? It's so important. We have the power to do it. The Holy Spirit changes all of that. Who is wise and understanding among you, James says? Let them show it by their good deeds, their good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. All right? We have the information. We have the impartation and we have the motivation. If you let it happen, if you'd let Jesus give you the motivation, you will have it. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. For Christ's love compels us because we are convinced that one died for all, and those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. You're not going to be able to help it. If you trust the real Jesus to forgive you all your past, if you come to him and he forgives you, you're not going to be able to help it. You're going to realize how important everybody is. Because you didn't deserve it and he forgave you. And just because there's somebody who's out of control around you doesn't mean they don't deserve respect and love too. The motivation is just going to happen. God is so good to us that we will become, we will just be so grateful for it because we are loved and cared for. And in fact, let me read this to you. Colossians 3, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. All right, how do we get there? All right, what did Paul add to that to show us how we get there? We are called to peace. And he says in the next statement, be thankful. It's thankfulness that causes us then to give us a motivation to live this out. I mean, we've got everything we need. We've got the information, the impartation, and the motivation. So how come we're not doing it? How come it's not happening? Man, I'm reading a biography right now of one of my musical heroes, Rodney Crowell. Rodney was raised in West Texas in an oil workers' little neighborhood. His dad was a raging drunk. His mom was just, man, it was awful. And I read where he came from, and it was just normal. That raging, that insulting, that belittling was just a normal part of their communication. Let me tell you, for all of us, if you came from that, we've got to recognize that as sick and wrong. And I'll even say sinful. It's time to repent about that and realize that might feel normal, but it isn't normal and it isn't right and it's not healthy. How come we're not living it then? I'm going to read you one statement. Ephesians 4:29. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only that which is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Okay, that's what we're supposed to be doing with our mouths. Why is it we're not doing it? Okay, one little word. Three little words, actually. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out. You want to know why it's happening? It's not because we don't know. It isn't because we don't have power. And it isn't because we don't have motivation. It's because we don't want to. And it's time for you and I to repent about that. That means to turn around in our minds about it. And confess that for what it really is. See, that stuff is motivated. It is motivated by anger, jealousy, greed. It just goes on and on. It's time for us to repent of that and realize where it's coming from and get out of the way. The only reason it's not happening, we won't let it. And then it says, do not, right after that, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God with which you have been sealed for the day of redemption. Oh, we think about big sins, right? We think about grieving the Holy Spirit. I'll tell you, in context, it's how we use our mouths that grieve the Holy Spirit. So, I encourage you. I got a lot of learning to do about this too. But let's start focusing on what God has given us. It'll cause us to be thankful. His care and love for us will give us peace if we'll focus on that. And all of a sudden, our mouths will change. So watch your mouth. Let's stand together to pray. Come on. Lord Jesus, thank you for your your wonderful mercy to us. I mean, you're so patient. And you keep drawing us along gently like you do. Change us. Help us. May we really be transformed at the gut level of our lives. Not on the peripheral stuff, but on the real heart level of this. We recognize that we're the ones standing in the way most of the time. And we get out of the way. Lord, we're not going to let that with your help and power and motivation. Bless us. May the people around us be blessed because of you and your work in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, let's sing this old one.
There are things that I love and hold dear to my heart. They're just borrowed. They're not mine at all. Jesus only lets me use them to brighten my life. So remind me, dear Lord. Roll back the curtains of memory now and then. Show me where you brought me from and where I could have been. Just remember, I'm a human, and humans forget. So remind me, dear Lord. Nothing good have I done to deserve God's own Son. I'm not worthy of the scars in his hand. Yet he chose the road to Calvary to die in my stead. Why he loved me, I can't understand. Roll back the curtains of memory now and then. Show me where you brought me from and where I could have been. Just remember, I'm a human, and humans forget. So remind me, dear Lord. Roll back the curtain of memory now and then. Show me where you brought me from and where I could have been. Just remember, I'm a human, and humans forget. So remind me, dear Lord. So remind me, dear Lord.
Isn't that a great old song? I just love that song. Let me do one other. This is a sounds like an old song, but it's actually a newer song written by Jillian Welch. If you've not heard Jillian Welch and David Rawlings, they're a tremendous duo. But they wrote this simple.
When I cross over, I will shout and sing. I will know my Savior by the marks where the nails have been. By the marks where the nails have been. By the sign upon his precious skin. I will know my Savior when I come to him. By the mark where the nails have been. but the King of Heaven can be told from the Prince of Fools by the mark where the nails had been, by the sign upon his precious skin. I will know my Savior when I come to him by the mark where the nails have been on Calvary's mountain, where they made him suffer so. All my sin was paid for a long, long time ago. By the mark where the nails had been, by the sign upon his precious skin, I will know my Savior when I come to him by the mark where the nails had been. I will know my Savior when I come to him by the mark where the nails have been. Thanks.
Well, thank you for visiting the website of Community Bible Church. We hope you found it helpful. Also, if you're ever in or around Waterford, Michigan, we would love to have you come and visit us for a Sunday morning service. We'd love to have you come. Let us know you found us on the web. So God bless you, my friends.